Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Thank God His face is shining on us tonight and always, even though sometimes it may not feel like it. The sun is always out. It's always shining. You know, even on cloudy days, the sun is out. You know, people get up sometimes on a real cloudy, miserable-looking day, and they'll say, well, the sun didn't come out today. The sun didn't come out. Well, the sun's not going to come out today, but that's really not true. The sun's right there. It's just right above those clouds. Right above those clouds. That's what's so amazing about it. You get in an airplane, you know, and you get in an airplane on a real cloudy, rainy, miserable day. It's dark, and you get in a jet, and you just, and before you know it, you just cut right through the clouds, and it's a perfectly good day up there. Amen? It's a perfectly sunny day. Even on the most cloudiest, rainiest days, the sun is still shining. And we have to realize that God, He's out. The Lord has come up today. He's alive. I said He's alive. He's fighting our battles. He's for us. His eyes are on us. His face is shining on us, even though there might be some clouds around in the natural, in the flesh. We might be feeling some clouds, but that doesn't change where He is in the Spirit. He is right here with us, right here with us. And the Bible says that the darkness and the light are both the same to Him. When it gets dark here, it doesn't get dark to God. Right? He's created animals with night vision. He's the creator of that. So nothing changes with Him. He can see you in the dark just as good as He sees you in the light. He sees us all the time. And the comforting truth is He is with us always. All the time, and nothing is hidden from His sight, especially you. So He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what you're going through, and He's right there with you to see you through. To see you through every trial, see you through every test, see you through every battle in life. And life is full of battles. That is just a part of life in this world at this time. Now, thank God Jesus is going to come back, and He's going to change all that. And, earth is going to be just like heaven, which is how God originally intended it to be. But right now, it's a pretty messed up place. And so there's a lot of trials, tests, there's a lot of suffering that is going on in the world. And we need to understand suffering. We need to take the shock and awe out of suffering, which is what we started to talk about last time. We were talking about how we need to answer the question, why is this happening? Has anybody ever asked that question before? Asked yourself that, why is this happening? And probably all of us have asked ourselves that question more than one time. Why is this happening? And that is a sure sign that a person is experiencing the shock and awe of suffering. They are just perplexed. They are amazed by it. And if we are amazed by suffering, it's a good chance that suffering will defeat us. That suffering will overcome us. But we're not to be overcome by suffering. We're to overcome suffering. I said we're to overcome suffering. But to do that, we got to first deal with this shock and awe. Like I said last time, when we went into Iraq, one of the tactics that our military used was something they called shock and awe. And they went in there and just started blasting and had high explosives going off. And it must have just shook the Iraqi military and all the people of that nation to the core. And that is designed to freeze the opponent, freeze the enemy in fear so that you can overtake them. Well, we are in a battle. I said we're in a battle, and we are in the military. We are called soldiers of light. in the Bible. And the enemy, we have an enemy, and that enemy will use shock and awe to try to paralyze people in fear so that he can overcome them mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. That's our enemy's design for us. So we want to get rid of the shock and awe, and if we do, we'll be able to face suffering a lot better so that we can face it with an overcoming spirit. Overcome it. Get the victory. And so we were talking about that last time, and I found a scripture that goes really well with that. It's over in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Why don't we go there tonight? 1 Peter chapter 4. Here in verse 12, the Bible says, "Beloved, do not think it strange." Do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Now, do we have any beloved in here tonight? Are you beloved of the Lord? Well, if you've made Jesus the Lord of your life, how many people know Jesus is God's beloved son? Right? God spoke from heaven when Jesus got water baptized. He said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." So we know Jesus is God's beloved son, but the Bible says if we've made Jesus the Lord of our life, then we are accepted in the beloved. And if we're in the beloved, then we are beloved. So that's why he says beloved. And so you need to know that if Jesus is your Lord, you're accepted in the beloved. And God says to you what he says to his son Jesus, beloved. My beloved son, my beloved daughter, beloved. Isn't that an awesome thing? Now, that never changes. God's the same all the time, regardless of the clouds. Say, "I'm beloved." In other words, I be loved. I be loved of God. Beloved, he's talking to the beloved, and he says, "Now, beloved, because you are God's beloved, there will no be any fiery trial to try you." That would be a strange thing if something fiery trial tried you and you were God's beloved. Come on now, did you follow me on that? No, that's not what it says, does it? "But if I'm God's beloved, why is this fiery trial happening?" He says, "Yeah, you're beloved, but don't think it's strange. Don't think it's strange concerning a fiery trial. That is to try you." Don't look at it as though some strange thing is happening. Why is this happening? See, when you say, "Why is this happening?" then you're looking at this trial. You're looking at this suffering that you're experiencing. You're looking at it as a strange thing. He says, don't do that. Don't do that. Let me read this from the Common English Version. He says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised or shocked. Don't be surprised or shocked that you are going through testing that is like walking through fire." So there it is right there. He says, don't be surprised or shocked. See, it's that shock and awe. The shock and awe of suffering is what causes a lot of people to lose in the battles of life. It causes them to fall on the battlefields of life. It's not God's will for us to fall on the battlefield of life. It's God's will for us to overcome and to get the victory in everything we face in life. And so we were looking at, well, why? Why? Why am I experiencing suffering? Well, we went all the way back to Genesis. And there was these two people. And their names were Adam and Eve. And so a good reason why you are suffering and experiencing trials and tests in life is because of Adam and Eve. They sinned. They disobeyed God. And they caused problems for mankind. Big time. Big problems. There are big problems in the world. Why are there such big problems in the world? Well, it wasn't that way when God created the world. It happened when the man whom God gave dominion over the world sinned against God. He broke covenant. He sided in with the devil. And the devil became the god of this world. And so we got problems in this world. There's suffering in this world. There's fiery trials and tests in this world because of Adam and Eve's sin. Because Satan is now, according to 2 Corinthians 4:4, the god of this world. The name Satan means adversary. And so he is the cause of all evil adversity in the world. It's all because of Satan, because of sin and because of Satan. And God said to man, he said, cursed is the ground for your sake. It wasn't that God was cursing the ground. Man had cursed the ground. God was just letting man know that the ground is now cursed. You cursed the ground because you disobeyed me and you released satanic power over the earth. Now the earth is cursed. A lot of people read that as if God cursed the earth. God did not curse. He's not in the cursing business. God's in the blessing business. He's just declaring to man his current condition now that he's rebelled against him. So the earth is under a curse. Well, thank God, God has blessed you and I. But no matter how blessed you are, that doesn't change the fact that the earth is still cursed and you're living in it. So you are blessed to be able to overcome the cursed earth. The cursed earth. And because your body is from the earth, the enemy will always try to cause that curse to come on you. But thank God, I like to say, I'm too blessed to be cursed. And that's how I resist the curse. Resist the curse. And sometimes in resisting the curse, there's suffering in that. There's suffering involved in that. But thank God, you're suffering resisting it, not suffering it, being overcome by it. We don't have to be overcome by these things. We can overcome. But in overcoming, there is a suffering that is involved in that. So you came into this, like I said, every human being came into this world screaming and crying. Every human being comes into this world screaming and crying in sorrow and in pain. That's just what the earth is full of. Psalm 51 verse 5 says, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in sin. My mother conceived me. That's how I came forth. God, don't forget, this is how I came forth into this world. I was born into sin. Amplified Bible. I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. In sin, my mother conceived me. And from my beginning, I too was sinful. I was brought forth in a state of wickedness. The world is in a state of wickedness. And so you're living in it. And friend, it's been this way since you were born. Why are we so shocked? Why are we still so surprised when we face fiery trials and tests? Why are we still so shocked and in awe? This is something that has been going on since we were born. We are in a hostile planet. We're in a world that is in a state of wickedness. We were born into a race of slaves. A people that were slaves, that are slaves to sin. That's the kind of world you and I came into. We got to get all this is. I'm saying things that you know, but yet you don't know, and you need to know to a greater degree. Because if you really knew it, like you really need to know it, then you would never ask the question, "Why is this happening?" You would never be amazed, like, "Why me? Why is this happening to me?" Because thee is in the world. You are in the world. That's why these things happen. So once we really get a hold of this, then we can have peace in the midst of the storm. I said we can have peace in the midst of the storm. Because we understand we're blessed to overcome. We are graced to be able to overcome this hostile environment. This wicked environment. This world that is full of suffering. Full of suffering. Full of pain. Full of suffering. So because of sin, because of the curse, because of Satan, And because of sinners, people will sin against you. If it hasn't happened to you yet, it probably will someday. Has anybody ever sinned against you? Trespassed against you? Done you wrong? Made your life more difficult than it needed to be? They made things harder. They've caused you suffering. Huh? Yeah. So that's not a strange thing. That's a fact of this life. You can be blessed. You can be the loveliest person on the face of the earth, but that doesn't make everybody around you love you. Why are they treating me like this? Why? I never did this to them. Well, you see, Adam and Eve sinned. Satan became the god of this world. The earth is under a curse, and people are slaves to sin. We need to get that. Well, why would they do that to me? Well, but I didn't deserve it. I got that. We got to stop being shocked. Nothing should shock us. When people trespass against us and do us wrong, people get so offended. They get so offended. It's like, I just can't believe they treated me like, they get so offended. It's like, why are you offended? Don't you know everybody has the potential to yield to the devil? And don't you know the devil doesn't like you? Don't you know the devil's not nice? Huh? Don't we know that? Why are people getting offended at other people? We should understand what's going on. Pray for our enemies. Lord, help Charlie. My goodness. You hear what he said to me? He don't know what he's doing. He's being overcome by the enemy. Lord, I forgive him, and I ask you to forgive him. I ask you to open his eyes in Jesus' name instead of shock and awe. So when you have shock and awe, then you respond out of the flesh, and then you return reviling for reviling. How do we overcome? We overcome hate with love, with the love of God. We overcome darkness with light. We overcome lies with the truth. I can't believe they betrayed me. I can't believe they lied about me. Well, you better start believing these things, because it's a fact of life. And if you're so surprised by it, you're going to keep being overcome by it. You're going to get offended by it. And there's a lot of people in hell today because they got all tripped up and they got over into bitterness and anger and hatred because of what somebody did to them. Because they were so surprised they couldn't overcome it. And it's cost them eternity. So we don't want to be a part of that mess. We want to be totally untouched. I understand what's going on. I'm not surprised. Anything can happen in this world. But this I know. No matter what happens, no matter what weapons are formed against me, they won't prosper. I will overcome. It might not feel good at the moment, but I will overcome it. That I know. I have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? We are guaranteed victory. So, you know, people will sin against you. And then maybe you have sinned a time or two in your life and messed up. I'm not saying anyone has, but it just might be possible. And, you know, of course, the Bible says that whatever a man sows, that's what he's going to reap. And Jeremiah the prophet said that your own sins will correct you. And so sometimes we're reaping some of the wild oats that we have sowed in times past. But thank God for the blood of Jesus, the mercy of God, that when we repent and turn to his righteousness, the Bible says he who sows righteousness will reap mercy. In other words, you sowed sin, but you repented, and now you're sowing the righteousness of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And when you do that, you reap mercy. So somebody say, suffering is a part of this life in this world. I'm not going to be surprised by it anymore. If you bang your finger with the hammer, why? Some people do good, you know. They bang their finger with the hammer. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. They get over that. They go back at it again, and they go in there, and they grab something, and they get stuck by a nail. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Then they bang their knee coming around the corner. And after about the fourth thing that breaks and falls apart, it's like, why? Why? Why is it happening? They did good. They had faith for three things. But they didn't have faith for all of it. They didn't have faith for the whole thing. Come on, somebody. We don't want to just have faith for four things. We want faith for all things. Come on. Amen. That's what we want. That's how we're supposed to live, bless God. 1 Peter chapter 4 again. Look here in verse 15. He says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. So he doesn't say, let none of you suffer, does he? He does, but he doesn't stop there. He's not talking about not suffering. He's saying just don't suffer as the result of your own sin. Don't suffer as a result of having murder or hatred in your heart. Don't suffer as a thief, stealing things. And you got to understand, even though you might get away with things in man's sight, there's still justice to be served. He says, don't suffer as a thief. Don't suffer as an evildoer. Don't do evil things. Or as a busybody. Just getting yourself involved in something that's none of your business. You know, a lot of folks could really spare themselves a lot of unnecessary suffering if they just minded their business. But so many times, people struggle with that one. Did you hear? And people meddle. And you know, you get a half a story about something. So many people, they get a half a story, not even a half, they get a quarter of a story, and then they run off with it, and they think they got the whole story, and the next thing you know, they run off, they're completely out of the will of God because of a misperception of something. And now they're out here causing all kinds of problems for themselves because they didn't mind their business. It wasn't their business, and they only got a half truth. You never get the whole thing when you're not minding your business. If it's not your business, you're not going to get the whole truth. You're not going to get the whole story. And so, unfortunately, that's caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. So he says, don't suffer because of these things. See, we're not, you say, well, I'm just suffering for the Lord. You know, I'm in jail because I took some things that, you know, God knows belong to me. I didn't own them, but God knew I deserved it. And so I'm suffering for the Lord in prison like the Apostle Paul. You're not suffering like the Apostle Paul in prison because you stole something. Are you hearing me? It's a lot of folks that are causing all kinds of problems with themselves, and then they're acting like they're God's martyr. I'm suffering because of my faith in Jesus. You all pray for me. Well, you know, you all repent. Some folks need it. You can pray all day, but if they don't repent, it ain't going to do a hill of beans of good. I will pray for you, brother, that you repent. And you come to your senses. Take responsibility for your actions. All right? So there's a suffering that people are causing that should not be. But that doesn't do away with all suffering. That's just one kind of suffering for doing evil, for doing the wrong thing. Notice, if you just go back to verse 14, go back one verse, he says, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Notice that. If you are reproached, that word reproach means insulted or reviled. You know, how many people like it when people talk nasty to you? How many people like it when people insult you and say terrible things to you, or, you know, they go behind your back and they make up all kinds of terrible things about you? Does that feel good? No. Can that hurt? Yeah. Can you suffer because of that? Absolutely. But notice, he says, if you are reproached, we can say, if you do suffer for the name of Christ, see, not because you're a busybody, not because you're a thief, not because you're an evildoer, not because you're a murderer, No, but because of your faith in Christ Jesus. Because you're standing up for the truth. You're speaking the word of God. He says, blessed are you. Blessed are you. See, in the midst of the suffering, thank God you're blessed. And I like what he goes on and said, for the spirit, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. Man, the glory of God will come upon you in times like that. In other words, more grace will be measured to you in times like that. God will be that much more stronger in your life, in you. So this is a suffering that comes, but he says, you're blessed. You're blessed for suffering for that thing. And then if you jump down to verse 16, we're just jumping over verse 15, which talks about let none of you suffer as a murderer, etc. He says in verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify or honor God in this matter. So there is a suffering as a Christian. So we need to understand, there's two kinds of suffering. There's a suffering that comes with the territory of this world. There's a suffering that comes as a result of living in this sinful, fallen, demonically ruled world. There's a suffering for that. And then you become a Christian, and all that suffering goes away. And it's now a nice bed of roses. Is that what happens? Right? You got saved and all the suffering went away, right? A lot of folks think that's what should have happened, you know. A lot of folks were expecting that to happen. They came, they made Jesus the Lord of their life. Oh, I made Jesus the Lord of my life. I feel his peace. I feel the blessing. I feel the spirit of glory on me. Oh, hallelujah. They feel so good. It feels so great. And then they go out of here and someone cuts them off on the road. And then they get home and they're just so excited to share what happened to them. And they get treated nasty. And people start treating them wrong. And then their flesh starts riling up. And the devil, he starts knocking on their door. And they open the door. And he comes in. And he starts lying to them. And he starts speaking all kinds of things to them. And all this doubt starts coming. And then they'll say, I thought something good happened today. Well, something good happened today. That doesn't mean that nothing bad is ever going to happen again. It's not what it means. It doesn't mean all the bad went away in the world just because all the bad got washed out of you, out of your spirit. All the bad got washed out of you. Now you still got to face a very dirty, bad world. But a lot of folks like are expecting the world to change around them just because God's changing them. No, let God keep changing you even in the face of an unchanging, nasty world. Let God just keep changing you. As you persevere through trials and tests, as you persevere through these things, God will do a tremendous work in your life and do a life-transforming change in you. So we understand there is a suffering as a Christian. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's understand that you can get saved, get filled with the Holy Spirit, go to church, get in the Word of God, get full of the Word of God, get full of the wisdom of God. But just because you're getting full of the wisdom of God, that doesn't guarantee you won't face the same kind of problems sinners face. As a Christian, you'll still face the same exact problems that sinners face. I'm a Christian. I shouldn't be having to deal with this. I shouldn't be facing these things. Now that I'm a Christian, now that I'm full of the wisdom of God, you could be praying, you could be in the Word. That does not mean you're not going to face the same kind of things that unbelievers face. And we see that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. And I think Solomon, who wrote this, he was in a little shock and awe. You know, towards the end of his life, he was definitely dealing with some shock and awe. And Ecclesiastes chapter 2, verse 14, it says, the wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. Yet I myself perceived that the same event happens to them all. To the wise man and the fool. The wise man and the fool. What happens? Same events happen to them all. Verse 15. So I said in my heart, as it happens to the fool, it also happens to me. And why was I then more wise? Why? 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 He's asking the why question. Why? Well, he didn't have the New Testament, so you got to cut him some slack. Why? Why is this happening? Because remember, God gave him tons and tons of wisdom, right? He had all this wisdom, and yet he's looking and he's seeing that the same thing is happening to that guy over there that's got no wisdom at all. The guy's a complete fool. He said, the same kind of stuff I'm dealing with. I'm facing the same kind of things. So then he's asking the question, why was I then more wise? What was the point of it? What was the purpose of it? Can anybody answer that question? Because God's wisdom does not prevent the same kind of things happening to you that are happening to the fool, to the unsaved, to the sinner. But what God's wisdom does do, it gives you the ability to overcome what the fool can't overcome. You will face the same events many times. You will face the same kind of storms. You'll face the same kind of trials. But the difference between the wise man, who's wise in the word, and the fool who doesn't know God, is that the wise man knows how to overcome it, and the fool does not. And he can be overcome by it. That's the difference. Being a wise man doesn't eliminate the battles. It just guarantees you the victory in the battle. And I like that. But you see, people are confused. They think the battle means they've already failed. They've already fallen. They've already been defeated. It's like, I shouldn't be having any battles. This shouldn't be happening. I'm a wise person. I'm in the Word of God. Why is the same kind of things coming at me? Why is the same kind of things happening to me that are happening to other people that don't know God and spend no time in the Word? Well, because we all live in the same world. And we all got to face the same devil. We all got to face the same storms. But the difference is, you can overcome those storms. You can get the victory because you know the answer. Can you say amen? So we thank God for the word. We thank God for his wisdom. Why do we get in the word? Because it fills us with faith that causes us to get the victory over the world. Victory over what? Over the world. Why do you need victory over the world? Because the world is under a curse and it's ruled by demons and it's full of sinful people. But thank God, faith gives us the victory over the world. Faith does not cause us to be out of the world. Faith does not rapture you. Faith empowers you to face the trials and tests of life. People are looking for a rapture. Beam me up, Jesus. The lady that led me to the Lord, she drove around in a little interesting looking car, and she had a bumper sticker on it, and it said, beam me up, Jesus. Beam me up, Jesus. Well, bless God. It's a good chance you haven't been beamed up yet. Surely when a trial comes, I'll just be beamed up. Nope. You know, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they stood up for their faith in God, and you know what? They still got thrown into a fiery furnace. But thank God for their faith in God, because the fire did not harm them, and they came out not even smelling like smoke. Come on. And you can come out of every storm of life not even smelling like smoke. You can walk through the fire and not be burned. Come on, you can lie down with the lions at night And though they roar, you can snore. Sleep sweet, man. Sleep sweet. Why? Because there's no lions? Because you're in the palace, you'd never be in the den with the lions. Well, you might. But that's okay. The sinners get eaten, and we don't. Isn't that just as good? Really, that's more adventurous. I mean, that's more adventurous, right? To get thrown into a lion's den and know you're not going to get eaten, that's good. I mean, actually, that's, you know, from hindsight, it's actually more fun than actually never getting to go into a fiery furnace or never get to be put in the lion's den. Hindsight. Right? You get thrown in there, but you know you're not going to get eaten. Now, of course, there's suffering involved in that. Going through something like that, going through a fiery test like that. I mean, it is a fire. It tests you. Thank God you and I can stand strong in the midst of the storm. Stand strong in our faith. And know that it's going to be all right. This too shall pass. This too shall pass. And we see this with our Master Jesus. Jesus himself. How many people know Jesus lived a perfect life? He lived sin-free. He never missed it. Jesus never sinned. He was love on legs. He did everything right. And yet, did he suffer? Did Jesus suffer? Oh, yes. Look at here in 1 Peter chapter 2, in verse 21. It says, "For to this you were called." He's talking to you. "For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps." So in other words, we're to suffer just like Jesus suffered. We're to suffer just like Jesus suffered. Well, how did Jesus suffer? Well, he was crucified. Bible says he took our sins. Bible says in Matthew 8:17, he took our infirmities, bore our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24, "By his stripes you were healed." But that's not the suffering that the Bible is saying that you're to suffer. Jesus suffered the curse of the law. He suffered the curse of sin, sickness, disease, poverty, confusion, all kinds of terrible things. Jesus suffered these things on the cross. The Bible says he became a curse for us. Galatians 3:13, "Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree." So Jesus took this entire curse. When he hung on that cross, he took those things for us so that we could be free from those things. So that those things no longer are to dominate our life. So we're not to sit here and suffer with sickness and disease and poverty and all these things. We're not to suffer with these things. These are things Jesus took as our substitute, not as our example. We gotta distinguish the difference between Jesus suffering as our substitute and Jesus suffering as our example. Here, it talks about his suffering as our example. And notice how it says it. It says, "For this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his crucifixion." No. No, the crucifixion, he did that as our substitute. He did that in our place. That's not an example we're to follow. It doesn't say that you should follow his crucifixion. It says you should follow his steps. His steps. In other words, it's talking about his life and ministry, not his death on the cross. Well, how did he suffer in life? Well, number one, we know he suffered resisting sin. The Bible says he was tempted at all points and yet without sin. Did you get that? He was tempted at all points and yet without. How many of you know temptation is not fun? It's not fun to be tempted. Notice here in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Peter 4, 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has what? Ceased from sin. Now, Jesus, he lived his life sin-free. But friend, I got news for you. As a man, he was still tempted to sin. And he had to suffer in the flesh. There were things he couldn't give into without it being sin. So he suffered resisting giving in to temptation. He suffered resisting giving his flesh everything his flesh wanted. I'm sure there was a lot of things he wanted to say, but he didn't say it. Right? Even when he stood before Pontius Pilate. Man, he said, I can call for a legion of angels right now to rescue me. But the Bible says he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He could have opened his mouth and he could have delivered himself out of that situation, but that wasn't God's will for his life. And so he suffered doing the will of God. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, headed towards the cross, what did he say? Father, if there's any way this cup could pass from me, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. In other words, I don't want to do this. He suffered resisting the temptation to sin, even to the point of breaking blood vessels in his body so that his sweat was mingled with blood. The Bible says, you have not resisted sin to the point of shedding blood. But Jesus did. I mean, that's suffering. You're breaking blood vessels. You're sweating, not just sweating, but you're breaking blood vessels, and blood is being mingled with your sweat because of your resisting, running from the plan of God, running to do your will and not his will. But he stayed in there, and he suffered. He suffered resistance. And it says, he who suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. I got news for you, friend. If you're going to live a righteous life, if you're going to live a life where you're not going to be a victim to sin, then you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to sacrifice. You're going to have to resist. You're going to have to lay things down. Because it just doesn't come easy. For anybody, it didn't come easy for Jesus. But because Jesus was able to do it, you can do it. Because now he's in you. Now that he's in you, he said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Over the world. I've overcome the world, and I'm in you. Greater is he that's in you than he that is in the world. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm an overcomer too. But it's going to require a sacrifice. You can't just give yourself everything you want and then live the abundant life. You can't just give yourself the flesh. You know what I'm talking about? You just can't give your flesh and just say whatever you want to say. Well, I tell you, I'm not going to hold anything back. People just say what they want to say, and I just tell you how I feel about it, and they vent, and they express, and they say, well, I want it, and they run after it, and they go get it. But it robs them of the kind of life God has for them. So they suffer as the result of giving into sin and as an evildoer, rather than suffering, resisting sin and being blessed. Hallelujah. Being blessed with an abundant life. I mean, either way, you're going to suffer. So you might as well suffer productively. You might as well suffer so that when the suffering's over, you win. You got victory. You got another W. Amen. And you're stronger, and you're healthier, and you're happier, and your mind is clearer, and you're more blessed. There's more glory on you. Let's suffer so that when after our suffering's over, instead of having a hangover, you overcome. I'd rather overcome than have a hangover. Oh, hallelujah. And let's just go back real quick to the first part of this verse. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, now watch this. Arm yourself also with the same mind. In other words, have a mind to suffer. We need to get hold of it. And that's really what we need to be getting from this word, is that we're taking the shock and awe out of suffering. No big deal. We could look at suffering and go, okay. Well, I understand. I mean, these things happen. We're in the world. But greater is he that's in me. So, yeah, they died from it, but we'll overcome it. Because that is not permitted in my body. That's not permitted in my life. See, I have authority now over the adversary. Just because you have authority over the adversary, that doesn't remove adversity. You still have adversity, but you have authority over the adversary, who is the root of the adversity. And so now, by using your authority and being willing to have a mind to suffer, in other words, to face the conflict. Face the conflict. Stop running from the storm. Stop trying to hide from it and throw pillows over your head. Lie on the bed with pillows over you and covers and draw the blinds and just cry. No! Face it. Have a mind to suffer. When a soldier goes out on the battlefield, he goes out on the battlefield with a mind to suffer. He doesn't go out in the battle and go, it's a beautiful day today. You know, maybe we'll just do some fishing over there in that pond. You know, right there. You know, last night the bombs were going off. And right there where the enemy has his little station set up, we'll go fishing. No. He doesn't do that, does he? If he does, he's not coming home. He's not going to make it. He's not on vacation. He's on a battlefield. And you and I are on a battlefield. Now we're having a vacation in him. He is our vacation. So we're going to enjoy Jesus. We're going to enjoy life as we go through life facing suffering unafraid. Like a military mindset. We have this same mind. We're going into the battle. We understand. We get up. We understand. You can't, listen, you got to stop praying these prayers. I've talked about this before. You can't get up in the morning and say, now, God, I just thank you for this day. And I just thank you. Everything's going to go really good today. And I have favor. And that there's not going to be any problems. And you just clear my path. And I just thank you, Lord. And then you go out into your day and you're expecting a clear path, no problems. In other words, no trials, no tests. Jesus said it's going to happen. But no, we're praying against what Jesus said. You can't pray against what Jesus said and be successfully praying. Are you following me? So I just thank you. Everything's going to go smooth. No. Don't pray that anymore. I learned that the hard way. Don't pray that anymore. You need to pray. Lord, no matter what happens today, I thank you that you strengthen me to overcome it, and that no matter what goes wrong, I don't. I will not go wrong, no matter what goes wrong. That's how you pray. Because you can't pray that things won't go wrong. But you can pray that you don't go wrong. Now, if you go out into your world, into this world, if you go out into your day, not wanting, not looking to suffer, looking to avoid all kinds of suffering, you'll probably suffer more than anybody else. Because you're not prepared for it, and every little thing will bother you. Every little thing will bother you, because it shouldn't be happening. This should not be happening. This should not be happening. This should not be happening. And now you're getting all upset over the littlest things. Because you went into your day without a mind to suffer. You weren't expecting this. Expect it. Jesus said, you'll have it. Expect it. Get in faith about it. Believe God. It's going to happen. But if you go into it with that kind of attitude, you're going into it battle-hardened and ready to face it. Smack me, don't matter. I got another cheek. You can spit on me. You can revile me. That's okay. See, once Jesus got it resolved in the garden, Father, if there's any other way, this cup could pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And he prayed it, and he prayed it three times, desperately. Is there any way? Is there any way? Once he realized, there's no other way out of this, son. This is my plan. Once that was resolved, he was done. He wiped himself off. He stood up, told his disciples, let us be going. The hour has come. And he never flinched from that point on. He never flinched. And they beat him. They tore his flesh apart. But he went into it totally ready. He went into it in faith. And because he had faith in the battle didn't defeat, even death didn't conquer him. Oh, hallelujah. Though he was pulled down into Sheol, bless God, he rose up out of there victorious. Hell could not hold him. And he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he says, have the same mind that Christ had. Have the same mind. Face the world. It's evil. It's dirty. It's contrary to God. Therefore, it's contrary to you. Now, face it unafraid, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You're going to have things go wrong. It's cursed. It's dangerous. But you will triumph. You will always win. And weapons will be formed against you, but they will not prosper. And you will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we face it all unafraid and totally understanding that this is a part of the territory of this world. This is a part of being a Christian. We're going to be mocked. That was another thing. Jesus suffered resisting sin. Bible says in 1 Peter 2:23, in verse 23, he says, who when he was reviled did not revile in return. When he suffered, everybody say suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously. Jesus dealt with severe persecution. And the Bible says, those who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, they shall suffer persecution. See, this is the example that we're to follow. Resist sin. That was an example Jesus set for us. Persecution, you're going to have it. Don't be so shocked. Don't be so shocked. You preach good news, man. You're preaching good news. You're loving people. You're telling them the good news, and they don't act good to you after you do it. You're like, why is that happening? It's very strange, but it happens all the time. You got to be ready for persecution. So many Christians, they're so afraid to share their faith with people. They're so afraid to share their faith. They might be rejected. They might not believe. Who cares? Preach the gospel. Share your faith. Tell the world, but they might reject me. Especially if they find out what kind of church I go to. What kind of pastor I have. You know, if the pastor just toned it down a little bit, I'd be more comfortable bringing people to church. Okay. Okay, coward. So afraid to suffer persecution. You don't have a mind to suffer. You're going to get smacked around by the devil. Are you hearing me? Stop being afraid of suffering persecution. It's a part of the Christian territory. You need to get in on it. Get in on it. Hallelujah. It's part of where the blessing lies. It's hidden in the persecution. Because he said, when you're reviled, when you're cursed, when they come against you for your faith in Jesus, he said, blessed are you, for the spirit of glory rests upon you. Woo, hallelujah. More glory will be on your life. I want more glory, don't you? Then you can't be afraid to be you. And let people know who you are. You're a Christian. Huh? Spirit-filled, Shandai, Rondai, the whole deal. Christian. Can you say, leaving nothing out. Can you say amen? I'm going to stop there. There's a few more things we can cover next time. But I think we did well tonight to cover what we did. Can you say amen? Somebody say, I'm an overcomer. I'm not afraid of persecution. I will resist sin. I'm not afraid to suffer. I'm ready to suffer. No pain, no gain. I'm ready. Bring it on. I'm more than a conqueror. I will triumph. I will overcome in Jesus' name. Amen. So he says, don't say bring it on. You might bring it on. It's going to come on, but if you're so afraid of it coming on, then you're going to experience a lot of it. The truth of the matter is, if you have that kind of attitude, the devil's going to think twice before knocking on your door because he sees you're poised and ready. Remember, he attacked Jesus and then waited for, after Jesus beat him up, he waited for another opportunity. He didn't just keep coming. He said, now let's just wait, guys. Let's wait until he looks a little vulnerable. Don't look vulnerable. Look like you're ready. You're ready to rumble. Somebody say, I'm ready to rumble. Are you? Are you ready to rumble? Oh, praise God. Let's stand on our feet and let's go then. Let's get out of here. Let's go get them.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.